Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org, on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with the writer and editor, Kitty Mayo. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm well.
It's a marvelous day, and we might even have some rain in our near future, and that will be lovely, too, I think. As long as they don't go overboard.
As long as they don't go overboard.
Yeah.
A little rain would be great.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. We've got a nice assortment of stories in front of us here, starting out with gravel pit operations on Fox Farm Road are just raising severe dust issues in Alden Township.
Oh, my gosh. Are they ever? I love how you start with this nice selection of stories. I hope you really feel that way. That makes me feel good. So this particular story is about JBL Trucking and two gravel pits on Fox Farm Road. Now, this is right over the county line in St. Louis County. And as you know, we have a lot of friends in Culver Valley that really see Two Harbors as home base. So sometimes these arbitrary lines, they're just lines on a map. These are our friends and neighbors who are being affected by somebody who is a local resident of Lake County as well as the business owner, Jack Locks. This has been an ongoing issue for about the last year. And the case in point is that Jack does own these two gravel pits. And there are a lot of, and I should add, gravel is in high demand. It's a good business right now. And there are a lot of really big trucks moving up and down that road in the non-frozen months. And not just dust, but it's just a huge volume of these really big vehicles. So the neighbors came together and they sat down with St. Louis County officials. I got to attend that meeting, and it was a chance for the people in the neighborhood there to talk about the problems they're seeing and ask for some sort of relief or resolutions in not just adjusting the way the road is comprised, which the county does plan to do some calcium chloride treatments to the road, injecting calcium chloride into the gravel so that there's less dust. And that would happen in 2026. That's an actual plan that they brought forward. But there's a greater concern beyond that of, should there be 25,000 very large gravel trucks moving on these couple of miles of dirt roads in 1 year? And is there any way to restrict that or limit that? So that was the conversation. I did say 25,000 trucks. That is a real number. And we're talking, when the frost restrictions are off those gravel roads sometime in May, usually through to when the snow starts to fall. That's a lot of semi-trucks. We're talking semi-trucks. Don't think dump truck. Think semi-belly loader, okay? There is a difference. It's a larger vehicle. There wasn't a lot of positive feedback from the county officials. I'll be following up with them. There's some conversations around conditional use permits and what those allow and how those can be brought into compliance with the flavor of the neighborhood, basically. Does this fit here as a business? So that's a lot. I just gave you a lot of info.
Oh, sure. And that's good. So this is basically, it's an 18-wheel, 5-axle belly dump type of gravel hauler. Are these loads restrained? Are they tarped?
No.
Uh-huh.
Not from what I've seen with my own eyeballs, anyways, because I was out in that neighborhood this summer, and I don't think so. I could be wrong about that.
And the windshields are partially obscured by dust?
Yes.
I think it would be time for a mobile weigh station on that section of gravel road and stop every one of them and do a safety inspection on them and make sure their loads are tarped and their windows are clean and their brakes are working.
I'll pass that bit of advice along. At this particular meeting, the local St. Louis County sheriffs were in attendance, and they talked about the checks that they had made for safety and speed, and they had not found any problems in their inspections. But I think this is an ongoing story. Residents, people up the time, there's little farms out there.
Well,
the
sure.
Berry fields are covered with dust. The plants are, suffering from it. People say that they have to spray their windshields off before they can drive to town if they leave before 10 in the morning. It's a lot.
I think that Alden Township would have some say in how fast these laden trucks are moving on their roads. And maybe have some kind of an arrangement with the operator there to a little quid pro quo. You're pounding the tar out of our roads. We will have a little something to help keep them up.
Well, that is an interesting question that was raised, Tom. And in the conversation, from what I understood, there has been a verbal agreement with the owner, Jack Lax, to help pay for some portion of this chloride, calcium chloride treatment that is anticipated in 2026, but without any real details about that. Speed, again, I'm going to say there was a speed test done and no speed violations were found. The residents are not happy with that conclusion, and they really are talking more about the number of trucks going up and down these roads and wondering if there's a limit that could be put on those.
Well, that would be a commerce issue, and I don't think they can do anything to limit the number of vehicles. As long as they've got their taxes paid on them, they're good to go. Have they ever considered the once upon a time there was a liquid product from the paper plants that was used for spraying down roads for dust and erosion control. Is that kind of a program still in operation, or has something evil been found in that slurry?
I'm not sure if it's the same thing. I think that's the calcium chloride.
No, this was a slurry product from the paper mills.
Oh, I don't know.
It was a slurry product from the paper mills that tended to help hold the gravel in place. The calcium chloride draws moisture from the air and becomes airborne itself as the road dries out. And oh gosh, I'm rattling on here, and I think we should move on to another story. I don't want to flog this thing into the ground. I have to believe that JBL is an honorable operator, and you know, give them every benefit of the doubt. But part of that is being a good citizen in the community that you're plowing through. But in the meantime, Two Harbors is approving a joint powers agreement for housing projects. This is between the City of Two Harbors and Lake County.
Right, exactly. This is kind of exciting because it's been in the works for a long time now. So the joint powers agreement that was approved by the council still has to go back to the county board for final sign-off, and I think also to the county HRA, the Housing Redevelopment Authority, so that everybody has, you know, checked their boxes. Really, what this is a formalized way to approve something to clarify communication between these four entities, the city council, the city HRA, the county board, and the county HRA, to make sure everybody is in communion about how and harmony about how housing development happens within the Two Harbors city limits. So this is a good move. It's really sort of exciting. It should allow the county to offer its resources, which are abundant in their office as far as like how development can happen, should happen, and get done, along with the Housing Trust Fund money that the county does have. And then Two Harbors will always be able to say as a council, we don't want it to happen like this, or we're fine with it happening like this. So it allows everybody to get something done, hopefully.
Sure.
And then I will say, I want to add to another interesting piece at the county board at the city council meeting this Monday was the identification of potential commercial waterfront development. And the city did approve. So this is the Agate Bay waterfront area that the city is going to be finally having ownership of, that we've talked about many times. In this decision, they approved an additional small portion, about 3 to 4 acres, that could be commercial development. And it seemed to me that everyone was satisfied with this idea. It was a move that had to happen before the DNR finished passing through legislation that makes it so. So what that final legislation will say is that we're giving you this land. It's around 11 acres. It's yours, city, to do with as you wish, except you may only provide commercial development on a very small portion of it. It's pre-designated. The rest of it cannot have commercial development. So it's kind of I think it's a good thing.
You bet. And it is a reasonable trade, considering that there is also a significant amount of sentiment opposing commercial development of the 4 or 5 acre parcel on Lighthouse Point that's adjacent to the treatment plant there that's still privately held and is theoretically potential commercial development there as well, depending upon what the city says about that. But in the matter of the joint agreement now, this is actually pretty huge because, you know, each entity feels pretty possessive about what it considers to be its turf. Mm-hmm. And the big issue, especially with the drive on housing, is that a tremendously large amount of unbuilt land, which is eligible for designation as residential property, is not developed, and it's owned by Lake County because of mm-hmm. tax forfeit issues in the past history. And so, although it's in the city, it's owned by the county, and so the county has a certain territorial imperative over it. And with the mandated delays for advertising, when you're dealing with government agencies, it can slow things down to a crawl. Well, we make a decision. Well, yeah, but we got to have a couple weeks to advertise that, and then we got to talk about it. And, mm-hmm. and my goodness, so this really is huge, getting a joint mm-hmm. powers agreement between these entities so that they can work together more cooperatively toward a common goal, which is more housing inside the city limits, because the size of our city is pretty much staked down. And as Will Rogers said about real estate, they don't make it anymore. And so we got to do what we can with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's gosh. Right. School board is looking at a budget preview, and this is tempered by a declining funds driven by a declining student census.
Mm-hmm. You got it. That's they're beginning to look at planning for their budget. Their fiscal year is in the middle of the summer, and then they have to start, you know, rapidly dealing with a budget for the following year. So it was touched on a recent school board meeting what some of the needs are, how adaptations can be made, how to start planning better for replacing buses as they age. Very big cost and a huge lead time required for a bus to be built. Basically, you have to kind of put in an order a year ahead of time. Declining enrollment is a thing, and we're hearing about that kind of everywhere. Fewer kids coming into kind of all of the school districts. So yeah, there's a lot of parts and pieces there. It's good to see that they're working on how to do well with the money that will be allocated, along with some concerns of federal funding possibly being removed from our school district and perhaps many others as well.
You bet. And, you know, it is kind of interesting. The city is trying to grow. It wants to grow. But we have to have houses in order for people to have a place to live. And so if the city succeeds in building housing, that would suggest a rising mm-hmm. population and a potential rise in student population, which it's like raising rats and mink. Use one to feed the other. And it's ups and downs. This is what it is. It's ups and downs. And you need a crystal ball, a really good one with 5G capability. I'm certain of it. on something a little bit more pleasant and uplifting is about yoga and wellness, conversation with the University of Minnesota.
I love that you pointed this one out, Tom. For the listeners who don't know, sometimes I send Tom pages and then he picks what we're going to talk about. It keeps it fun and dynamic. So talking yoga and wellness, April is a National Stress Awareness Month. There's a month for everything these days, but I really liked this one. I do yoga several times a week, and it can be so important for your health beyond just the physical benefits and accessible to just about everyone. You don't have to be able to tie yourself into a pretzel and stand on your head to participate in yoga. So this is just some really good research backing that. I hope people check it out.
As an aging person, I am realizing that as I go through this aging process, you know, I've never been this old before. I'm noticing that my balance is not as acute as it once was. And there's a host of reasons for that. But one of the things in yoga is certain exercises and postures and actions which are beneficial to maintaining your balance and strengthening your feet and your toes. And so it's not just some kind of a woo-woo new age feel-good thing. This is something that is a definite benefit for the well-being of a tired old human body.
That's right. Yeah, so, I love that you're endorsing that. My mom is 81, I finally talked her into starting yoga in her late 70s, and she wouldn't give it up for anything. It just makes her feel so good. And so she's real committed.
It's excellent, excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those people of a certain age who are reluctant, there is an adapted form of yoga that starts out in a chair,
yep.
you know, until you build yourself up to the point where maybe you can step away from the chair a little bit. But it's all baby steps in yoga. And I'd like to close out with a piece about a new fire truck for Two Harbors. And considering the area that our volunteers cover, over 580 square miles, that's a big piece of territory for a handful of volunteers and a handful of trucks. So a new truck is huge.
It is huge. It's literally huge. It carries 2,300 gallons of water. So this is the Two Harbors Fire Department. They are pretty pleased to have a brand new truck that's replacing one that was aging. And I think we should all be really happy about this. I'm always trying to turn people's attention to our emergency response people that we have throughout the county. They're so important on so many levels, and whenever we can recognize them for their help, for being there for us in an emergency, or how we can contribute or donate or show up when they have open houses, or even think about joining along with them, so important for a healthy community.
You bet. 2,000 gallons of water. That's 8 tons of water. That's a big whack of water to be hauling around at a high rate of speed and taking sharp turns. Oh my gosh. This ain't no ordinary truck, folks. My gosh, Kitty, I've enjoyed talking. I'd almost rather talk than eat, and I've talked us out of time, so I'm not even going to offer you to add any more stories. I will just say in closing to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.